This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Wednesday. We're going to talk to Daniel Turner a half hour from now. I want to know what's the deal with these sanctions. Is Russia feeling the squeeze? I just feel like we're a little lacking on an energy talk recently. I'm going to get to some education talk in a moment. Maybe a touch of COVID accountability, possibly. Boy, they sure are stressed about those 2020 ballots, emails, all that. So much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show in the final hour. Now, just wanted to play a couple things for you. We've talked before about demographics. We've talked about birth rates, as uncomfortable as a subject as that is. Some people can't have kids, don't want to have kids. Some people are single. It gets to be an uncomfortable topic. Nevertheless, I don't care. We still have to talk about it. But the world, all the world, is not struggling with making new babies. Right-wingers are getting married and making babies. They are. Not all of them. Maybe that's not for you, but that's what right-wingers are doing. Left-wingers are not. I saw someone... He did this long, it was all kinds of details and math, but I'll just break it down for you in my own community college white trash way. We are having exponentially more population growth on the right than they are on the left. If you stretch out a timeline, there's going to be a lot of us in the future, and they're going extinct. They're all gay, they're all single, they're all miserable, they abort their babies, they hate themselves, all those terrible things. Well, as much as I despise communists, and as dumb as they are, they can do math too. Especially the Asian ones. Not quit, Chris. We can make jokes. And you get what I mean. They can do math too. They know it doesn't look good. So what do you do? Well, they take your kids. The goal is to take your kids. I've told you before, because you don't look at the world this way, it's hard to understand someone who does. When you see a parent with their child or with their children, you don't want to go in and grab that child and teach them something different than their parents do. That would never occur to you. Hey, I got to get into that relationship. I got to break that kid away from their parents and teach them my values. That's not even how a normal person looks at the world. It's weird. That's how all communists look at the world. That's why they are so deeply embedded in the education system. They're not having kids of their own. They want your kids. Here's the head of the Minneapolis Teachers Union. Before I play it, Signal, you may not know what it is, you may not have it. It's one of those messaging apps for your phone. It's supposed to be private. Keep in mind, there are no private messaging apps. The government and all kinds of people have access to all this stuff, but it's supposed to be one of the more private messaging apps. And apparently you can get in big groups on there and share all these, hey, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, let's have a beer at Chili's. Although these people weren't talking about having a beer at Chili's. These people were talking about the techniques they would use to stop ICE from deporting rapists and murderers from the country. Here's the head of the Minneapolis Teachers Union.
In Signal chat groups, running plates in their cars, doing patrols, that somehow we're ashamed of that activity, that somehow you could call our bosses or show our faces and then we would be shunned by our community. Our bosses are in the Signal chats with us. Our elected officials are in the chats with us.
Not just some nobody. That's the head of the Minneapolis Teachers Union. What do you think she's going to teach Aiden and Jaden and Braden about immigration when they walk into school? This is a California student. Keep in mind, our friend Ryan Gerdusky already looked up where this kid goes to school. It costs $35,000 a year, so he's a spoiled rich kid. But setting that aside, where do you think he learned this?
I have been at school for the past couple months, actually, with friends who are Mexican, Latino, Asian. And seeing the looks on their faces when anybody says anything about ICE is terrifying. And I want to say that when I'm with them, I feel angry. I feel furious because when I watch the news, I see people being kidnapped, people being hit by cars during protests. And I don't know what to say.
Yeah, we can tell. But they're after your children. And don't think for a second they're passive about it. Just because it would never occur to you to go after someone else's kids, that doesn't matter at all. It would never occur to them to not go after somebody else's kids. That's how they operate. Bronco, I'm not sure how many of your listeners caught it, but you recently admitted to being a fraud. Supposedly, you have a God-given gift of being able to look at any menu and determine what the best item on the menu. Now we know that you're not a menu whisperer, but a menu studier. You cheat by looking up the menu before you go to the restaurant. Anyone can pick out the best menu item if they study the menu ahead of time. Thanks for finally letting us tell the rest of the story, says his name is Dave. Dave, let me ask you something. Michael Jordan. Did he magically become the greatest basketball player on the planet? Or did he have to work for it? Now, I understand that Michael Jordan has some natural gifts that he can use as building blocks to become the greatest basketball player ever. He's really tall and he's lean. He's going to be a naturally fast person. Michael Jordan famously had huge hands, and that helps you in basketball when you're palming a basketball. So that's like me when it comes to menus. I have so many natural skills that God has given me that allow me to, I don't even need to see pictures. I can look at a menu and I just know what to order. But those are just raw skills. If Michael Jordan doesn't spend time in the gym working on his fundamentals, shooting, dribbling, hour after hour, in the weight room, then all those, the big hands, the height means nothing at all without the willingness to put in the hard work to refine your skills and become the greatest ever. Being a menu whisperer is not just something God gives you. God can give you, probably not you. God gave me the tools. But from there, I had to make a conscious decision whether or not I was going to study math or I was going to get good at something that really mattered, knowing what to order in restaurants. When I get emails like this, you know what it tells me? It tells me you're jealous. That's what it tells me. It tells me you're somebody who constantly orders the wrong thing in the restaurant. You look across, maybe it's your wife. In this case, maybe it's your boyfriend. And he's eating something that looks delicious and you're eating some dried out pile of chicken and you want to be better. And so then you look at someone like me and you think, I don't think I could ever be that. And that's true, you couldn't. But with some hard work, you could get better. You can't be Michael Jordan. You don't have the physical gifts. But with some hard work, you can play in the NBA. You're never going to be the greatest orderer of food on the planet like I am. God didn't have that for you. You can improve. You can improve, all right? Don't get down on yourself. That was meant to be a pick-me-up. Hey, Jesse, Thanks for the Little Red Book. I don't have a question for you. Are you going to do an audio, or I do have a question for you. Are you going to do an audio book for it? No, I'm not doing an audio book. You're welcome for the Little Red Book. I want to again remind you that it is free. Everyone is now emailing, thanks, I can't. It's just free. It's a little booklet. It's 93 pages. JesseKelly.com is where you go and put in your email address. Yes, Chris, I will remind them. Please don't email Chris and ask for the book. Go to JesseKelly.com, put in your email address. All right. Are we going to get some SAVE Act stuff? Tommy Tuberville said something about cheating in elections. Fulton County's upset. Next.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent, magnificent Wednesday, a hump day, and you can email us jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right, so I played John Thune earlier, Senate Majority Leader John Thune. I know you're not a fan. You are well aware I'm not a fan. You want the SAVE Act passed. You understandably want people to have to show ID to vote. You understand the communists are desperate to not have that happen.
We've got to get this done, and we've got to get it done very quickly. The SAVE Act is an abomination. It's Jim Crow 2.0 across the country.
Here was Dick Blumenthal.
It's simply a step toward totalitarian and authoritarian effort to suppress the vote. And it goes along with his seizing election machines and...
You're not a child. You're not an idiot. You know why they don't want you to have to show ID to vote. It's one of those things that's insanely popular across the political spectrum.
Look, I got all this polling on the screen going back since 2018. You'll notice on all of it, it's all north of 75%, 76%, 76%, 76%, 81%, and then 83% in the last year of Americans agree with Nicki Minaj. They favor photo ID to be able to vote.
What about by party? What's the party breakdown?
Yeah, normally you might expect, hey, there'd be a big divide by party with Republicans really for it and Democrats really against it, but not really here. I mean, just take a look here. Favor photo ID to vote. You got 95% of Republicans, pretty much all of them, but even 71% of Democrats favor photo ID to vote. So again, Nicki Minaj posting that on X. And what you see is that the American people, actually, it's not really all that controversial. The American people are with Nicki Minaj, whether they are Republican.
Okay. You're frustrated Republicans won't pass it. John Thune, what I played earlier, sounded like a man who didn't exactly feel any urgency to pass it.
The coin in the realm in the Senate is floor time. There's a finite amount of it. And we have a lot of things we have to do. There's a housing bill that's awaiting action, hopefully a market structure bill, possibly permitting reform, farm bill, highway bill. You can go right down the list. Russia sanctions, there are a whole bunch of things that could be teed up for action on the floor of the Senate. And so you have to make some judgments, and the conference will have a conversation about that. I've committed to that we will talk about that idea and determine whether or not they're what the conference's views are about it and whether how they want to proceed. As I said, we will vote on the SAVE Act, but exercising or triggering a talking filibuster has ramifications, implications that I think everybody needs to be aware of.
Okay. You probably saw that they took it out of the legislation. Some people were trying to get it put into this legislation. They took it out of the legislation. Now, if I can give you a bit of good news, and I don't know that it will work out in the end. I'm doubtful that it will, but here's a bit of good news. I talked to Tim Burchett earlier today. You know who Tim Burchett is? He's fantastic. He's one of the very few politicians I like. He's a congressman out of Tennessee. Granted, I'm the hugest Tennessee homer in the world. I just adore Tennessee, so I'm a little biased, but he's awesome. He's one of us, Tim Burchett. He eats at Waffle House like we do, okay? Just one of us. Tim Burchett is the furthest thing away from a D.C. homer where he's going to defend the Republicans and things like that. All he does is make Republicans mad. Tim Burchett told me that John Thune is actually trying to get this thing done. Now, I didn't tell you it was going to get done. I'm doubtful it will get done. But he told me that John Thune is trying to get it done. Tim Burchett would tell me in no uncertain terms if John Thune was trying to destroy this thing. Tim Burchett would tell me. He would be completely honest about it. I'm telling you right now, Tim Burchett told me on this issue, John Thune is trying to get it done. Now, again, I said I'm not hopeful it's going to get done because we have these, I'm about to call them Democrat light, but we have people like Susan Collins of Maine. Now, I'm actually not hard on Susan Collins of Maine because she's from a blue state. She's a Republican who gets elected in a blue state. She's got to be half a Democrat. James Lankford has no excuses to be so effeminate and pathetic. John Cornyn has no excuses. Barrasso, Instagram, they have no excuse at all. Susan Collins has every excuse in the world. Susan Collins is facing brutal re-election headwinds right now. Susan Collins, remember, we have to have every Republican vote. Susan Collins might not be able to. Which puts us in quite a bind because communists have to cheat in elections to win them. Do you hear this? Why do you think this is?
Fulton County election officials have filed a motion in federal court calling for the return of all 2020 election documents the FBI took from an elections office. They seized 700 boxes of ballots and voting records from the 2020 election. Now the Fulton County chairman says, quote, our Constitution itself is at stake.
That's weird. Why would they want those ballots back? The county in Georgia that pretty much determined the presidential election had a lot of funny business going on. The feds went in and seized the ballots. Now they're begging for them back. Huh. I wonder what they're going to find in there. Remember, FFC, the Democrat Party, disappears without it. I don't want you to disappear. That's why I want you to carry a burn-a pistol launcher on you, a compact launcher. It's easy to conceal on your body. I need to stress that part, especially maybe you're a woman. Maybe you're hesitant. You want to go jogging in your little shorts. You want to go out. Maybe you're in college. This is the size of a smartphone. Does your smartphone fit in your little purse? Does it fit in the little tights you're out there jogging in? Then so does a burn-a launcher. Legal in all 50 states. What is your plan when you're out for a walk tomorrow morning? What is your plan when you go to your car and there's an animal waiting there for you? You going to scream? Or are you going to shoot him in the chest with a burn-a, watch him sit there crying, and you go home that night? BYRNA. Get one for your daughter. Get one for your wife, your mom, your dad. It's not just for women. BYRNA. Byrna.com/Jesse. Byrna.com/Jesse. New York just released almost 7,000 criminal aliens. Are they going to visit your apartment tonight? Byrna.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Remember, if you missed any part of the show, you can download it iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. All right, so I have all kinds of energy questions right now, and they span the globe because everyone knows what a Renaissance man I am. Venezuela, what is happening in Germany? There's all kinds of stuff about Russian oil sanctions, all kinds of things that go way above my head, which is saying something since I'm 6'8". So we need Daniel Turner in here with Power of the Future. Okay, Daniel, first of all, Iran, Russia, India, Russian oil. I'm just going to hand you the show. What's happening?
A lot's going on. You know, the problem with oil, as is the problem with a lot of the world, is that geographically it is found where our Lord and Savior and God Almighty decided to put it. And sometimes the people who stand above that soil are not good actors. I think we're the good guys. I'll always believe that about America. But Iran's not, right? Russia's not. Venezuela's not. And so President Trump sees oil as a leverage point and says, imagine if we control the oil, And then we control, to an extent, the actions of those bad guys, right? When Russia had unfettered oil access, look at what it did to Europe, and then look at what it did to Ukraine. And when Iran had unfettered oil access, remember Biden released all of the sanctions on Iran, look at what it did to Israel. And then when all these bad guys do bad things, they call upon 18-year-old Jesse Kellys and say, hey, boys, we're going to send you over to fight another war because America has to come to the rescue. So President Trump is saying, how about this? How about we preempt the war by not letting the bad guys get rich and powerful to begin with? And so control the oil, control the world. When people were angry about this and they were saying, oh, I thought he was America first. I thought he was not starting wars. Yeah, he's not going to start wars because he's going to stop the bad guys from ever getting the money and the power to go to war. So you know what? I'd rather control Venezuelan oil than send more farm boys to die on battlefields because we let bad guys get rich and powerful.
How squeezed, and I realize this is an opinion question because everybody is invested in lying about this, but how financially squeezed do you think Russia is when it comes to these sanctions? Now we see these European leaders, hey, we need to get off of Russia. India, things are happening there. Do you think Russia, who had been previously living off of this money, do you think they are feeling it?
I think they are now, and the reason why is just because of the price point. Remember, for 4 years under Biden, the average barrel of oil price was around $95. It hit $135 for several weeks, but it was around $195 for a long period of time. Oil prices right now are quote unquote high, and I think it hit $62. Oil was down to $54. That's a huge delta, right? That's not exactly 50%. But it's 40%, it's 45%, and it's really hard to placate your oligarchy, whatever you want to call them, right? Like if you're Vladimir Putin, you got to buy a lot of people to keep getting these soldiers killed, to keep the whole Ukraine disaster going on. And you do that with money. When you have 40%, 45% fewer bucks, fewer rubles, it's harder to bribe people. It's harder to pay for soldiers. So I think they're going to, if they aren't already feeling the pinch, and they are, it's going to get a lot worse just because of the global oil prices. And that's a good thing.
Speaking with Daniel Turner, breaking down all this oil stuff that I find fascinating. Daniel, I keep reading that Saudi Arabia is potentially feeling a serious financial squeeze, which is so odd because I always think about that as being one of those places that is just dripping with money. Is this an oil price thing? Is this you have a royal family with a couple screws loose thing? What is this?
It is the fact that those petro states, oil is their only export. You know, America has a lot of oil and gas. Texas has a lot of oil and gas. But Texas also has a diversified economy. America has a diversified economy. And yes, if the oil sector takes a hit, it's not good for the economy overall, but there's a lot of stuff happening in America. If you're a country like Saudi Arabia, 90% of your revenue is generated from oil. And when 90% is down 50%, that's a hit to the country, right? There's a reason why Dubai has the world's tallest skyscraper and the world's largest indoor ski resort and all these stupid things that those Arabs build with their wealth. The reason why is because oil was high for a long time because of dumb American energy policy in particular, and they were flush with cash. But now that they're not flush with cash, they're not building these skyscrapers anymore, right? They're not building any indoor resorts, and Saudi Arabia is looking to diversify, so much so that Saudi Arabia is trying to get a tourism business. I couldn't imagine going on vacation to a place where I couldn't drink. Quite frankly, I couldn't imagine a day where I couldn't drink and at the end of the day have a couple cigarettes because my life is is chaotic and insane. Imagine going to Saudi Arabia. Imagine being in you've been in the desert, Jesse. Imagine being in the desert at 115 degrees and you can't even have a cocktail. No, thank you. So good luck with your tourism industry.
I have been to many, many hot places in the world, many, many hot deserts in the world. By a mile, the most oppressive heat I have ever felt in my life is in Kuwait, which is obviously right next door. It was like a life force, Daniel. You could like walk on the air. It was freaking awful.
Yeah. Yeah, I spent a lot of time in those countries, not as much as you, and I wasn't in uniform. I was at the State Department. But yeah, awful heat, awful misery. And because we were in these host nations, there was no end of the day. Like, let's just have a beer and relax, boys. It was, yeah, brutal places, brutal part of the world. I don't wish those people ill, but I don't want them to be rich and powerful. And I don't want them to control world markets, and I don't want them to control world ideas. So I don't mind the fact that the Middle East starts getting a kick in the teeth, because the Middle East is the bane of a lot of our existence, quite frankly.
Dubai. I'm the only person on planet Earth who apparently has never been to Dubai. Is Dubai fun?
I would never go. I have no desire. I won't even fly through Dubai. I just have a boycott of the Middle East because of the time I spent there. I don't like the culture. I don't want to spend time in that part of the world. I'm married to an Australian, so I go to Australia to see in-laws, and there's always the two ways to go. You can fly through Dubai, or you can fly through LA and go across the Pacific. And I always go across the Pacific. I don't think I'll ever step foot in those parts of the world if I can avoid to.
I don't
Sorry. Oh, no offense to any of your wonderful listeners who are from that region are going to now call me whatever, a racist, a xenophobe. Ooh. As you always say on Twitter, Jesse, and it's one of the things I love about you, when people say mean things to you, it just makes you stronger. And I think you've taught a lot of us that as well. Like, call me a racist online. What, you think that's going to – you think that's going to stop me? Give me a break. So if anyone heard this and they're like, oh, my God, he's a xenophobe, I'm going to tweet at him. Good luck, buddy. It's not going to stop a damn thing.
Yeah. I don't care if you offended anybody. I offend people every minute of the day on this show. It means nothing to me. By the way, if you're offended by anything Daniel Turner said, remember, I don't care. All right. Final thing. The nuclear power thing.
Yeah.
Are we getting it rolling?
We are. The administration has relaxed a lot of rules and put together financing, and there are 10 nuclear power plants that are now underway. It's going to take a little time to get there, and we're ahead of the we're behind the eight ball, right? We are slow to get this up and running, and that's unfortunate. We have a brighter future, but we're not there yet. And the problem, and I think about this when it comes to the midterms, even, you know, people worry about affordability and pricing, and what does this mean for the overall message of the midterms. 4 years of bad energy policy has made a very expensive America. It's going to take time to squeeze the inflation out of this economy. If these nuclear plants had been built in the first Trump administration, we'd be in better shape. If anything had been done of value in the Biden administration, we'd be in better shape. So, you know, we are headed in a good direction on all things energy. Will we get there in time for November and our sadly misinformed American electorate? I don't know. But I am optimistic about the future based upon what I see every day.
Daniel, you are the best, my friend. Come back soon. I appreciate you very much. One more segment. Hang on.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. You can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. But we shall return tomorrow. Don't worry. We shall return. This is the mayor of Baltimore. Some people, they are able to get all the way through life and get high positions of power by pulling out one card whenever they get themselves into trouble. This card.
His car cost about $78,000 to $80,000.
In case you can't hear it, the audio is a little garbage. The reporter's asking, hey, why do you need a government-funded $166,000 SUV?
His car costs about $78,000 to $80,000, and he drives across the state. Governor Hogan's car costs $70,000. Now, again, that was bought when he was state.
That's a long time ago. And I also would, well, you looked at, I understand that. I did answer the question. Just because you didn't get the answer that you wanted in your racist slant, that's one thing.
And your racist slant. Speaking of governors, one of my favorite things, it's not my favorite thing, but one of my favorite things in politics is when communists speak about guns. And this is what happens when you drive all the men out of your party. there's no expertise for you to lean on when you try to talk about things. Democrats speaking about guns is always hilarious every single time. Here's the governor of the state of New York.
You'll no longer sell handguns that can be converted into semi-automatic machines able to fire 1,200 rounds a minute. Not here, not in New York.
It's so important. I don't understand. Just stop for a second here. Chris, this is a business matter, so it's probably unique for you. Explain this to me. You're a communist. Obviously, everyone knows the reasons. You want to take people's guns away so you can shoot them all in the head and put them in gulags. We got all that. So you're always having to get up there and come up with some new reason why you need to take away this gun and that gun. You have occasions like this where you need to speak about guns. Nobody around you knows anything about guns. Why don't you hire somebody? What, Chris? What? Okay. Chris said, you don't know what you don't know. That sounds right to everybody in the room. Okay, now, here's where I'll push back on that. You've been made fun of enough. All these people live on social media. All of them do. They all know what someone's saying on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. The most powerful man in the world lives on social media, Donald Trump. They're all on there. They've seen people mocking them. Don't tell me you don't know what you don't know. After the 800th time you say something stupid about guns and you get mocked into the ground about it, you all have money. They have endless campaign money. Why don't you find one gun guy and pay him so you don't sound like a moron all the time? People do all kinds of things for money. Look at Kamala Harris. Just find somebody and pay him to teach you about guns. Yes, you, Chris. Look, Democrats, I'm telling you right now, I have someone who is available for money. Believe me. You can't imagine how cheap he'll probably come, too. It's probably $1.98, and Jewish producer Chris will teach you everything you need to know about guns. Problem is, they don't have the testosterone. That's the problem. You see, testosterone, it's about your mind. Testosterone is about how your mind works, and it's about how your mood is. 50%. We have lost 50, we've lost half of our testosterone in 50 years because we're drinking estrogen and the birth control and everything else. Men, get your T levels back, get your mood back, get your energy levels back, and do it naturally. Chalk, C-H-O-Q. Go to chalk.com and try a male vitality stack for 3 months. C-H-O-Q. Did you hear this earlier?
It's simply a step toward totalitarian and...
Do you want to sound like that? No, you don't. Get your T levels up. Natural herbal supplements. Chalk.com. Promo code Jesse gets you a huge discount on subscriptions. All right? I got to play this for you before we check out of here. Josh Hawley was interviewing Jay Bhattacharya, only he goes by the name Dr. J, which how cool is that? It's not much, but it's something.
Don't you think to restore public trust is important that we level with the American people, that there's transparency, that we correct the record and say, here's actually what your government did with your tax money? When we were told over and over and over and over, no tax money ever went to Wuhan, no gain of function research. That was a lie. That was a lie from the leaders of NIH at the time. I think those lies need to be corrected, and the facts, all of the facts, however sordid and unpleasant they may be for the institution, need to come out so that the public can say, okay, we've cleaned house here. We've got some confidence in what our own government is doing with our tax money. Don't you agree with that?
I do agree with that. Like after a patient dies in a hospital, there's often a conference, a morbidity and mortality conference, where there's just an honest conversation what went wrong. I think the United States desperately needs that.
Yeah, desperately. Well, will you make that a priority in your time at NIH?
Happy to collaborate with you and others in Congress to make that happen.
Good. I think it's absolutely vital.
Look, it's not the reckoning you deserve, but it's something.
And now,
here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Majority of California voters back billionaire wealth tax, even when aware of economic risks. Oh, the consequences are coming for being stupid. Man breaks into Little Caesars, starts making and selling pizzas, North Carolina police say. Man did nothing wrong. Son burgled dad's Northumberland home on Christmas Day and made himself a ham sandwich. I'll be honest, I just wanted to say the word burgled. It's always made me laugh. This job sucks. A DOJ lawyer melts down in court over immigration cases. Look, lady, we've all been there. We'll be back tomorrow to do it again. That's all.